Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Randy Thompson, filling in for the vacationing Sam Shad. Today, we'll be talking with the two founders of the Nevada Wine Coalition. That'll be coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The cowboy cinched up his grip and nodded his head.
What happened next, Popsy?
He rode and swayed, but stayed on his horse.
Wow.
Rodeo, it's a family affair. June 19th through the 28th. Get your tickets today, renorodeo.com.
I love you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm joined today by first-time guests. I'm thrilled to have him. Danny Hopper, who was with the University of Nevada studying biochemistry and specifically viticulture. And Dennis Eckmeyer, who is a financial planner. But the two of them have formed some interesting thing called the Nevada Wine Coalition. So, gentlemen, what is the Nevada Wine Coalition? Why do we need it?
Well, we want to establish a commercial winemaking operation in Northern Nevada, primarily Northern Nevada, but throughout the entire state, and primarily create jobs and create a wine industry, which will, you know, create income to the state and jobs, and not only that, it's fun to make wine. So,
but I'm a little surprised that, Danny, when I think of Nevada, I don't think of making wine, and yet you've been studying this for how many years now?
Yeah, so that's actually kind of pretty interesting because most people that I talk to about that, they go, oh, you can't grow grapes in Nevada. You know, what are you guys doing? But yes, we actually can. And I've been very fortunate for actually about the last 6 years to be involved at the university in the wine program that was established by my boss, Dr. Grant Kramer. And they've really sort of established and shown that you can grow grapes here in Nevada. And the research that we've done has really forwarded the field of grape research, but along with the existing commercial wineries in Nevada, you know, the university has been vital in just showing people and that you can grow grapes, and the outreach that we've done has really start to to change people's viewpoints on that.
Well, I was fortunate to go to one of your wine tastings, and not only was it educational, it was about 50 people in there, mm-hmm. and I think I talked to at least, I'm going to say, four people that were all growing grapes in the Reno area. So you guys are growing grapes at UNR. Where and how many acres?
Well, so at the university itself, we have about 2 acres of grapes, and We've grown up to 13 different varieties, and the point of that was to just sort of survey what varieties grow well here. We've also now started to establish more vines at Main Station Farms. And
which is the one on McCarran, for those who don't know what Main Station is.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the idea of that is, to just keep putting more vines into the ground and showing people that it can be done.
We planted, about 3,000 vines out at Main Station so far?
Yeah, about 3,000 vines in the last year or so.
Right.
And every year the plan is to just keep going up from there.
Now, you guys have been involved in a group called Nevada Vines and Wines, which is a nonprofit organization.
Right.
And what is the purpose of Nevada Vines and Wines?
Nevada Vines and Wines was set up so that we could partner with the university, hopefully establish a viticulture program at UNR, and give back to the university, because most of us have all been university grads. And but Nevada Wine Coalition has kind of morphed out of that because we need to change some laws in order to further the goal for Nevada Vines and Wines. Current law states that you can't make wine and sell it in a community with over 100,000 residents, which effectively takes out Washoe County and Clark counties. So the reason we formed the PAC was so that we could change that law this next legislative season and then forward the rest of the agenda.
So currently there are several wineries around Nevada. Where are they? You've got them around north and south, actually.
Yeah, so there's actually there's a great one out in Fallon, Churchill Vineyards, a great one down in Gardnerville area, Tahoe Ridge, and then two down in the Pahrump area down in southern Nevada. So so there are wineries in the state that are, showing that it can be done. But, we want to, by changing this law, we're going to allow that to, to move into the, Washoe County and even into Clark County, some of the bigger counties. And, get it going in these larger areas.
So I think, though, of the climate of Nevada as not being conducive to growing grapes, and yet every state around us is growing grapes, and specifically Washington. So what are some of the similarities there to some of the states around us?
Yeah, so some of the the thing that makes Reno sort of ideal for growing grapes is we have very warm days. We have, a fairly long growing season. We have very warm days and very cool nights, which is just, perfect for berry development and berry ripening, flavor development, things like that. The biggest concerns that we have here in Nevada are the spring and fall frost. Everyone, talking about when to put their tomatoes out, things like that. So it's no different for the wine industry, but there are things that you can do to combat that, techniques that they even use in California grape growing regions, Oregon. I was up at a bunch of wineries up in Oregon, which use misting systems to protect against frost.
Oh.
So that's an issue that can be overcome with either research, further research or current techniques that are out there. But as a whole, another good thing is we don't get a lot of rain during the summer, which actually
that's part of the stressing of the plant,
that's right?
That's what I was learning a little bit from your class.
So we can precisely control how much water the vines get, and we can make them produce a better quality wine because of that. And along with the no rainfall, we don't have certain problems that they have in Europe or on the East Coast with certain mildews and things like that. So, you can grow grapes just fine here in Nevada.
We're going to take a quick break, pay for this show, and talk a little bit about the similarities of Nevada and other climates and how we can actually have wine in Nevada. We'll be back right after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Give me land, lots of land on the your adventure at TravelNevada.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking about creating a Nevada wine industry with Danny and Dennis. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
So you've got the fact sheet from Idaho. You also have some information in Washington, mm-hmm. not places I think of as growing grapes. When I had our restaurant back in the 90s, I bought a lot of Pinot Noir from Oregon. So there is a lot of growing going north of us, not just the Napa, Sonoma area.
Absolutely.
So what are the economic aspects that you're seeing in other states?
In Idaho, for example, you don't think of Idaho as having this booming wine industry, but according to their fact sheet, they made $73 million economic impact back in 2008.
Okay.
So I'm sure that number has just grown substantially. As Dennis, we were talking earlier about, the last stat that I heard from Washington State was in the hundreds of millions, but now it's
$8.6 billion industry and it's primarily Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. So. From an economic standpoint, there's a huge untapped market here in northern Nevada. And one of the other things that a lot of people don't realize is that for every acre of grapes that are planted, that employs 2.5 people. So from a standpoint of trying to get unemployment reduce unemployment as well as create another vital industry and bring more people to North. I've talked to a lot of people who are really excited about having a wine tasting room so that they can take the bowlers when they come in and other conventions,
And that's a good point, because all of these numbers aren't, this isn't just wine sales. This is wine sales is actually a fairly small portion of this. It's the tourism that it attracts, right. The other businesses that benefit from a wine industry. So it's not just the winemakers making money and selling.
You're saying the steel drums that are made for wines are actually being made in Mound House.
Yeah, so there's actually a company in Mound House that makes steel tanks for beer and wineries, and
And it's all shipping.
It's all shipping out of state instead of here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now people are gonna say, wait a minute, there's not enough water. We don't have water to grow, and yet grapes take less water than alfalfa. You guys were telling me.
True story.
And alfalfa is the number one product in Nevada for agriculture.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about wine usage, it's a tricky subject to talk about, because it's dependent on so many variables such as soil drainage, temperature, things like that, time of year. But it is clear that certain crops like grapes require much less water than certain things like alfalfa. Mm-hmm. On Churchill Vineyards website, they say they estimated that they put a tenth of the amount of water on their grapes versus the amount that they put on their grain. Again, the numbers are you could debate the numbers, but it's clear that during certain times of the year, we stress our grapes by not giving them water, and that forces them to put energy into the fruit and establish some good quality fruit for winemakers. Yeah.
So, what are some of the grapes you guys are growing that are showing good vitality for wine?
Right now in northern Nevada, some of the vines that are doing well are Rieslings. Rieslings do well here. Gewürztraminer vines do well here. As far as the reds go, there's some reds that most people haven't heard of, like Lemberger and Pinot Meunier, which is a mutation of a Pinot Noir grape and primarily used for blends.
This sounds more like a Rhone wines. I mean, it seems like we're kind of similar in that category.
Yeah, we grow, really, good Cab Franc Merlot blends that we've been coming out with. Mm-hmm. Another white that is doing really well, and Churchill's having really good success with that, is Semillon, is another great white wine for us. So, so there are some good varieties that we've more or less, that not only us have grown, but other people have grown that are showing that they can grow.
Tahoe Ridge is out in Minden. They've got a winery going. One of the other things that I just wanted to go back to the water thing was, you know, alfalfa uses an average of 50 inches of water for an acre of alfalfa, which will yield about $1,400 worth of alfalfa. Chardonnay grapes for an acre of Chardonnay grapes takes about 5 inches of water, and the yield on that is about $7,000. So, you know, I'm a financial planner guy, but, you know,
this
kind of makes financial sense. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it does, and it's also the jobs. You're saying in 2.5 jobs for every acre of wine grapes planted. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at some of the stats around the country, too. I mean, the wine industry has done nothing but grow. Mm-hmm. It's over a $300 billion industry nationwide, and America is one of the top consumers of wine. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we've got an audience waiting for us to just... To take this product.
Yeah.
And you've also got some people here, Ferrari Carano. Don Carano owns McDonald. Carano owns El Dorado. Mm-hmm. Dr. Costa Arger Martucci. So you've got people in Reno, especially, and in Owen Vegas, mm-hmm. that are actively involved in the wine industry. Are you reaching out to them to get support?
Yes, we literally just threw this pack together about, 2 weeks ago. So we're now in the planning stages. And yes, we do anticipate reaching out to those people to say, hey, help us change the law so that we can get this going, and I think it will benefit everyone.
And Clark County as well, and mm-hmm. I actually was chatting with the new assemblyman from the southern Nevada area of Clark that has the agricultural areas in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like there is interest even down in southern Nevada to expand this industry.
Right.
And it's a simple change, it sounds like, to the law. Do you expect oppositions?
You know, this is a total nonpartisan law, so I really don't anticipate any, but you never know.
I
would think it makes sense. The governor's behind it. I mean, his State of the State address last year, he specifically mentioned wine grapes. So,
I just don't see a reason why you can't. Why can't you have a commercial winery in Washoe or Clark County?
Well, I'm going to have you guys back on in a few months or maybe during the legislature to get an update on it. Thank you for being here, and we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for having us.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Attention homeowners. Quicken Loans has some very important information regarding the U.S. government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Nearly 3 million homeowners have already taken advantage of this fantastic money-saving program. But there are so many more of you who could be saving hundreds of dollars every month on your mortgage. Quicken Loans is here to help you save money. Why Quicken Loans? The home loan experts at Quicken Loans fully understand the HARP guidelines. We'll work with you to understand your specific circumstances and strive to find the financial solution that's best for you. Then we'll guide you through each step of the mortgage refinance process to make sure that it's both simple and easy. If you weren't HARP eligible in the past, new guidelines could mean that now you are. Give us a call and we'll give you a Quicken Loans mortgage review. It's simple and easy. To learn more about this money-saving U.S. government program, call Quicken Loans today or go to quickenloans.com for a mortgage experience that's engineered to amaze.
It's the sales event of the summer, the Ram Knockout Punch giveaway event at the Outlets at Legends this Thursday through Sunday in the parking lot right outside of Shields with used cars from just $9.95 and new Ram trucks starting at just $27,000.
Here's another good reason to come out to our off-site sale. Free tickets to the Reno Rodeo.
And look at all the incredible stuff you're eligible to win with any purchase, like a 60-inch big screen TV and more. The Ram Knockout Punch giveaway event, Thursday through Sunday.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. It's Power Pundit panel time. Steve Robinson, the senior advisor for R&R, and I must admit, my very first boss in politics. So it's nice to see you again. God, I went to work for you in 1984.
Don't mention those dates.
Oh, God, it was so funny. Back in Washington, D.C.
84,
yes. Howard Rosenberg, need I say more? And Michael Hackett, principal of Allris Consulting. So let's, of course, start with politics, because that's what we do here. So Mr. Hickey, the assembly leader, has put out an announcement asking Lisa Krasner, who came in second to Randy Koerner in Assembly District 26 up here, to essentially get out of the race. She doesn't have a chance to win, he says. And he says, Koerner is a member of the same party. Why not mentor with him? He's going to be there in the Assembly forever. I predict there's no way she can beat Koerner in the general election, which will be proven if she decides to continue her campaign. What do you think about Mr. Hickey's daring statement?
I'm not sure it's going to have any effect, to be honest with you. I know Lisa Krasner. I obviously know Assemblyman Koerner. I think they're both very good people, but they are very ideologically opposed in their positions. I don't want to say ill will between the two, but there's definitely been some issues that they haven't agreed upon in terms of how that district has been represented and that kind of thing. So, you know, I understand where Hickey is coming from, but I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference.
Do you think he overstepped a line in asking her to not to run?
Being very shy and retiring myself, I kind of understand. My first impulse was, and I know Pat, and I'm sure he'll take this properly, who died and elected you, God? think it was, that's something you say in private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Hickey's caucus is so small already that I think he wants to have some cohesiveness in it, mm-hmm. and he sees Randy Koerner as helping with that. Koerner's got a background, particularly with state government and the PERS system and retirement system, that is unparalleled. Nobody else in the legislature, as far as I know, knows as much about it. So I think that's one of the reasons. He's a real information source, mm-hmm. And I think Hickey sees that, and he said, why should we change?
Well, and why waste the money, I guess? But again, I kind of have to agree with you. Everybody has a right to run.
Happened with Mr. Cantor. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you can make those kinds of predictions, particularly these days.
Yeah, it's very true.
But I would agree with Steve's position, too, because I believe last session, Koerner was the policy director for that caucus. And so for the purpose of continuity and trying to advance whatever agenda the Assembly Republicans are going to have this session, it makes sense to do that. But I think Howard's right. Behind closed doors is probably the better venue for it.
Well, another interesting thing from the campaign was District Judge Patrick Flanagan ruling in the case of Ben Kiekeffer versus Gary Schmidt and essentially mm-hmm. put out a temporary restraining order against Gary Schmidt's ad and essentially said, you have to take this off the air. It's sort of a daring move, and there's been a little publicity about how a judge stepped into a race like that. Are you not familiar with that?
Vaguely familiar.
Okay. But he essentially ruled.
Censorship.
And that's been the question, is this censorship?
I know political speech is among the most protected of all speeches, of all type of speech. So I think that's a gray area, to say the least. I was aware of that, of what was going on. Ultimately, it didn't matter in the primary. Ben won very handily. Yeah. But the question was, did the judge's opinion come down too late? Because I think it did come down too late.
Well, the RGJ says it sets a dangerous precedent to start getting into censorship.
I would agree. Where's the line? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know when candidates are lied about, it infuriates them.
Of course.
I mean, just think of yourself, and you want to refute that, and you want to stop it. But through the courts is not the way, I don't think.
No, that's interesting. So just this past week, we had two former community college presidents testifying at the legislature about setting the community colleges free, letting them have their own, essentially have their own autonomy over away from the university system. So as a former regent and now as a K-12 trustee, what's your opinion of letting the community colleges be essentially separate and out of the shadow of UNR and UNLV?
They're not in the shadow of anybody. We are a small state. Geographically, forget it. We're a small state. If something happens up here, in 20 minutes, they're going to know about it in Las Vegas, plus a little bit more. So I don't understand that kind of thing. I know where Dr. Lucy is coming from. I understand her feelings. And I can't say that I blame her. But when you have one body that takes care of higher education completely around, there are relationships that can be formed, things like that that are very positive. You fragment that, then we start going to war against one another. That's not good.
Well, that's the thing. Is she and he, both she and Gwaltney were saying that, you know, if they went to the legislature for a budget item, the regents told them no, they couldn't. So there's the politics of it too. Is the UN, the university system is able to control at their budget better. But yet, if you look at what the community colleges are doing, they are much more of a technical career path, while universities are producing professors and PhDs.
See, there's the whole... Wendy, this really gets me. A university is not an employment agency. The university is the place where the jobs that haven't been thought up yet occur. Mm.
Interesting.
Community college's niche is preparing what we need now, maybe with a little bit in the future. But the university is where that big push comes. So many people say, well, community college means you couldn't get into the university. That's bull. Absolute bull. Your interests are different. Everyone doesn't have to go to university or college. And community college gives them that wonderful midpoint that they can get. I never thought I'd live to say this myself.
I know, it's a little interesting to hear you saying this.
University person, I mean, they're offering the same course as I am, and they're offering them at half price. Where else?
All right, we're going to end this section of the Howard Rosenberg.
Well, that's no fun.
I'm sorry, gentlemen.
No, what he said.
When I get started, you know this.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Do you like persuasion? Incentives? I know I do. And you are going to love the new and most generous incentives that Fiat has ever offered. Just listen to this.
Right now, you can drive away in a new 2014 Fiat 500L for as little as $18,000. Save almost $2,000 off MSRP. This four-door urban utility vehicle means a remarkable amount of space for passengers as well as stuff.
And why do I love talking about Fiat so much? Take a look at what I'm driving.
Working together.
We can protect your home.
Replace that old shingle roof with a fire-resistant alternative and keep it and your rain gutters clean.
Do the same to your deck and consider installing screening in open areas underneath.
Also, stack your firewood at least 30 feet from your home.
One ember can destroy your home. Take our advice and your home can survive.
Will your community survive?
Visit livingwithfire.info for more tips to save your home.
As fast as things change, it's nice to see that some things never change. People love their Camrys. That's why the Toyota Camry's been the best-selling car in America for 12 years in a row. And right now, get a 2-year Toyota Care lease on a new 2014.5 Camry for just $179 per month. Or get $2,000 cash back. Come see why so many people love their Toyotas. For more great deals, visit Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Thanks for watching and listening. You can visit Nevada Wine Coalition if you want to learn more about the wine industry coming to Nevada. Next week, we have Kathleen Sandoval, the First Lady of Nevada, and Derek Peterson, the CEO.